And here's what it says. Luke chapter 4, verse 24 through 27. And you might remember this because it kind of picks up off of what we read last week. But Jesus, after he says the Spirit of the Lord is on me in verse 18, in verse 24, he says this. Truly I tell you, no prophet is accepted in his hometown. But I say to you, therefore, that there were certainly many widows in Israel in Elijah's days, when the sky was shut up for 3 months and 6 months, 3 years and 6 months, while a great famine came over all the land. Yet Elijah was not sent to any of them except a widow at Zarephath in Sidon. And in the prophet Elisha's time, there were many in Israel who had leprosy. Everybody say leprosy. And yet not one of them was cleansed except Naaman the Syrian. Now I want you to flip over to the Old Testament scripture in 2 Kings chapter 5. I'm going to look at verse 1. Here's what it says. Naaman, commander of the army for the king of Aram, was a man important to his master and highly regarded, because through him the Lord had given victory to Aram. The man was a valiant warrior, but he had a skin disease. Aram had gone on raids and brought back from the land of Israel a young girl who served Naaman's wife, and she said to her mistress, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease. And jumping down to verse 10, I want you to see this. Then Elijah sent him a messenger, who said, go wash 7 times in the Jordan, and your skin will be restored, and you will be clean. But Naaman got angry and left, saying, I was telling myself, he will surely come out and stand and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be clean? So he turned and he left in rage. But his servants approached him and said to him, my father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? How much more should you do it when only he tells you, wash and be clean? So Naaman went down and dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. Everybody say 7 times. According to the command of the man of God. Then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. I want to preach from this theme of thought as we begin our new series, Breakthrough. I'm calling today's sermon, The Basics of a Breakthrough. The Basics of a Breakthrough. Would you tell the person beside you, today is your day to experience a breakthrough. Come on, find somebody else across the room and say, hey, do you need a breakthrough? God's got one for you. Father, we thank you for your favor and grace. We thank you for who you are and all you've done. Would you speak to us in a way that will help us experience all that you have for us, in Jesus' name? And every person said, amen. Amen. You can go to your seat right where you are. Now, family, I want to start this sermon today and this message today with kind of a foundational understanding of this word breakthrough. Everybody say breakthrough. I figured it'd be helpful for us to have kind of a working definition so that way we could all be on the same page as we go throughout not just today's message, but also this series as well. I was online and I recently found a good definition of breakthrough. It says, an act or instance of removing or surpassing an obstruction or restriction. It is the overcoming of a stalemate. But then I found another definition that I thought was connected, and in many ways connected to our text today and appropriate. And it says, a military movement or advance all the way through and beyond an enemy's frontline defense. I love that, because what these definitions ultimately show us about this word breakthrough is that breakthrough is about moving forward in something. And I think if there's one thing that many of us want as we are now in this second week of 2024, we are on now day 8 of 21 days of prayer and fasting. I believe that all of us under the sound of my voice, in person and online, you want your life to move forward. I don't believe most of us in here want our lives to stay where they are. I'm not saying that you got to have a massive overhaul. Some of us, life is well and things are going great. Some of us, you're like, no, Pastor, I need a whole makeover. I need them to come do demolition in my life. flip not just this house, flip this life. But I believe that many of us in here have some area in our life where we want to move forward in. But if we're honest, as we try to move forward in that certain area of our life, it's kind of been a struggle. I think that some of us, if we're being honest, can we be honest? Y'all at 11 o'clock service, y'all more honest than at 9 o'clock. Can y'all be honest? I told them that too. They started laughing. But I believe if we're really honest, if we could really be honest, and you survey your life, there's areas in your life, if we're really being real and just keeping it a stack, being 100 about it, there's areas in your life where you're like, this sucks. Can you be real? Can I talk to you like I was talking to our teenagers here at church? Like, there's areas in our life that's just like, man, I've tried so much and nothing's gotten better. I tried to change this and nothing got better. I tried to finesse it and nothing got better. I tried to buy my way out of it. It didn't get better. I tried to drink my way out of it. It didn't get better. I tried to smoke my way out of it. It didn't get better. I tried to twerk my way out of it at the club. It's 11 o'clock, so I can be real with y'all. Y'all awake. You tried everything. And it didn't work. Right? Come on, we got areas in our life where we've tried all these different things. And it didn't change it. And when I think about that and how we are now in 2024, I think for some of us, that's why we've come into this year already with this mentality. It's just another year. It's another year of me dealing with the same things that I've dealt with year after year. It's just another year where I'm going to deal with these same struggles that I've dealt with. It's another semester of college classes. I mean, what's the point? I'm not going to do well. And I think some of us have now come into this place in this year, and even here at church this Sunday, and you see areas in your life that need to be transformed and that need to be changed, but you've done everything in your power to change it and nothing has happened. Can we really be honest? Have you ever spent so much energy trying to make something better and it got worse? It's like, I tried to go to the gym and work out. I gained more weight. Like I tried to eat right. And it made me worse, right? Like I tried to love them, but it made the relationship worse. Can we be honest? I think there's areas that we all have in our lives, if we're really being honest, that have not changed, have not gotten better. And sometimes maybe they've progressively gotten worse, which brings us here to 2 Kings chapter 5. Because here in this text, what we're saying is this guy by the name of Naaman, and the text tells us that he's a military commander. And as a military commander, his main responsibility is to lead the troops of his country by the name of Aram. And the Bible helps us to see that Naaman is only mentioned two times in Scripture. The first time he's mentioned in Scripture is here in 2 Kings chapter 5. The second time he's mentioned in Scripture is in Luke chapter 4, the first Scripture that we read. And in Luke chapter 4, when Jesus is reading or talking about Naaman, he's pointing back to this story right here, which I find to be very interesting and vital for us as we start this year of release, as we talked last week about what Jesus was saying in Luke 4 about how the Spirit of the Lord is upon him and how Jesus has ultimately come to set us free and how he ultimately did that through going to the cross to die for our sins and by resurrecting on the third day to show us that he has all power in his hands, that no matter what it is that you and I face, no matter the circumstance, no matter the difficulty, no matter our sin, no matter our struggle, he has all power over it. And all of that's at the same time connected to what he says about Naaman in 2 Kings chapter 5. And the Bible helps us to see in verse 1 of 2 Kings 5 that not only is he a commander in the army of Aram, which is modern day Syria, the Bible says he was highly regarded. He was somebody that was very important. He was somebody that was the cream of the crop. He was at the top of the class. He was one of the most important people in that government and in that country at that time. He was somebody of great importance. He was the type of person that when he would walk in the room, everybody would stand up. He was the type of person who was always trending on social media. He was the type of person who had all the followers and all the likes and all the comments. And one of the things that we also see here is that he was also someone who believes in all these different gods, but not the God of the Bible. He wasn't a believer of Yahweh, as we see in the Old Testament. And along with that, he has a skin disease. Now, for some of us in here in 2024, this skin disease is not a big deal. But this skin disease is more than likely what theologians argue is leprosy. And leprosy was a skin disease that was present not just in Jesus' time, but also in times, in Naaman's times. And there was no cure for this disease of leprosy. In other words, if you got it, it was something that you would have to live with for the rest of your life. If you got it, there was a good chance that it would eventually lead to a fatality. So Naaman has this condition, a skin condition. He has a physical sickness. What the Bible doesn't tell his family is how long he's had it. Could have been some months, could have been some weeks. More than likely, it's been some years. So he's had this condition for some time. And I think that's important for us to take note of. Because if we're honest in our lives, there may be some areas in our lives, some conditions in our lives, some struggles in our lives that we've been dealing with for days, months, and maybe years at a time. And ours may not be a skin disease, but it might be something different in nature. But what's interesting, y'all, is Naaman is somebody who is very accomplished. He's very successful, but he's somebody who's also very afflicted. On the surface, he's successful, but beneath the surface, he's sick. On the surface, he has it all going on. He's successful. He's getting victory after victory. That's why the Bible earlier says that the Lord had given victory to Aram through this guy, even though he didn't even know the Lord. Can I help you understand something? God's been working on your behalf even before you knew it was God. God's been at work in your life for years, even before you even knew anything about God. God was believing in you and loved you even before you ever said yes to Jesus, if you've made the decision to say yes to Jesus. And to me, that's encouraging, because what that lets me know is that God has always had me on his mind. God has always been at work in my life. God has always been extending love. Before I even thought about him, he was always thinking about me. And no matter what the enemy tells you, I want you to know that you are more loved by God than you can ever imagine. You are more cherished by God than you can ever imagine. Before he formed you in your mother's womb, he knew you. He had a plan for your life. He had a purpose for your life. You're not an accident at all. You're not a mess up at all. No, you are somebody who's been loved by God. So God was actually at work in Naaman's life, and Naaman didn't even recognize it. But I want us to understand something about Naaman. On the surface, more than likely, he was always wearing armor. And a leprosy skin disease was more than likely something that was under the armor. It was probably something that most people couldn't see, because more often than not, when you had the leprosy, you had the skin disease called leprosy, you couldn't be around people. You're supposed to be quarantined from people. So there's a good chance that Naaman had this skin disease in areas where nobody else would know. It was hidden. And I think that's important for us to note, because y'all, we can have public success and hidden failures. We can have exterior looking great, but on the inside, falling apart. Let me make it practical. You can be having success on your job, but failing at home. You can be physically in shape, but mentally sick. You and I could have all the riches in the world. We could have all the walls in our house decorated with degrees, and we could have all the external things. None of those things are wrong. But we could have all those things, but beneath the surface, cry ourselves to sleep every single night because we feel alone. Naaman is a perfect picture, I think, in many ways of our lives. That you can be killing it in one area and losing it in another. To everybody else, man, they so perfect, they got it all together. They don't never struggle, and they don't never have no issues, and they don't never have no challenges at all. But what they don't see is how you can't sleep at night. What they don't see is that you're pulling out your hair because you're trying to figure out how things are going to work out. You're stressed out, and you're losing your mind, and you don't have any peace at all. That's what they don't see. And let's be honest, sometimes that's also what we don't tell. You know what's interesting about social media? Everybody loves to show their highlights. But nobody likes to go on social media and show how they had a massive failure that same day. Because in our world, what we do is we prop up success, but then we hide the struggles. And Naaman here is somebody, on the surface, he looks healthy, but underneath the armor, there's afflictions. So for some of us, you're smiling on the outside, but you're suffering on the inside. You're happy on the outside, but on the inside, you're falling apart. Your grades are good on the outside, but you feel alone and insecure on the inside. You got all the money on the outside. Roth IRA, 401k, six-figure job, but you don't have no peace at all. You got this external prosperity, but this internal pain. And what we learn from Naaman is, y'all, Naaman needed a breakthrough in his life that nobody else could bring forth. And as we're looking at Naaman, all of us are like Naaman. We all got something in our life where we need God to move. We all got something in our life where we need a breakthrough. And some of us are in here today, and you're like, man, I'm doing so well in this area, but this area over here, man, it is getting the best of me. I'm polished on the outside over in this area, but my anger is getting the best of me on this side. Like on the outside, all this is working out, and on the outside, people are singing all of my praises, but what they don't recognize is on the inside, I got imposter syndrome. Come on. And we're struggling, y'all. And there's areas right now in our life, if we're really honest, you're not killing in every area of your life. There is some area in your life and in my life where we say, I need some breakthrough there. I need a change there. Can I be real for you? Every relationship in your life is not perfect. Every decision that you and I make is not perfect. There are areas right now in our life where we are in need of a breakthrough, just like Naaman. And here in Naaman's case, nobody could heal him and nobody could help him. There was no doctor that could cure the sickness that he had. But then he gets word about a prophet by the name of Elisha, God's prophet, who by the power of God had previously done miraculous things. And why is that good news, family? Because it lets us know that if you and I are in need of a breakthrough, God is able to help us. I believe that you're here at church today because breakthrough is something not only that you need, but I believe that many of you are here today because you believe that breakthrough is something that God can bring forth. I believe that the reason why you and I come to church every single week as we worship God and as we lift up praises to God, I believe at the same time that we come to hear good news and how God can change a situation, how God can make a situation that looks bleak and bad and dark and bring light to it and bring hope to it. I believe that some of you are here today and you're like, Pastor, my life has been crazy all this week and I've been stressed all this week, but I knew if I got into the house of the Lord on a Sunday morning or if I turned on a message on YouTube or on Facebook or on the website that I could get some hope and I could get some encouragement that God can do something about it. And it's interesting here, y'all, because Naaman, y'all, he finds out about the fact that Elisha can potentially heal him, and he finds out about it from somebody who's in his house. Because his wife, Naaman's wife, had a maidservant, and her maidservant said this around verse 2. She says this, if only my master were with the prophet who is in Samaria, he would cure him of his skin disease. This girl was in his house and brought this word. I'm gonna say it again because you didn't get it. This young girl was in his house with a potential solution to his problem. Why do I take note of that? Because here's what it helps us understand. Your breakthrough is much closer than you actually realize. It's in the house. I'm here to let you know that the enemy may be trying to tell you breakthrough is so far away. The enemy might be able to tell you, you struggle with this all your life. You're going to continue to struggle with this until you get in the grave. But I'm here to tell you that the devil is a lie and he can go back to the pits of hell from where he came. I'm here to let you know that breakthrough is not far off. No, breakthrough is here. Breakthrough is available. Breakthrough is closer than you actually realize. I'm here to let you know today that breakthrough is here. That breakthrough is available. And I love this, y'all, because what's even more powerful about this is that Naaman, y'all, was a Syrian. And if you know anything about the Syrians back then, the Syrians were considered to be people who were outside of God's covenant people. And in the Old Testament, you had the Jewish people, the Israelite community, God's chosen people, but God wanted his chosen people to bear witness to people all throughout the world who did not know him at all. But they considered oftentimes people who were not a part of that community to be people that were outside of a potential blessing and breakthrough. But when Jesus says this in Luke chapter 4, he says everybody in Israel who had leprosy wasn't healed except Naaman, the Syrian. Naaman, somebody that even people in Jesus' time would never have expected to get healed. Naaman, somebody who was not of the same ethnicity of the Jewish people in that time experienced healing. Why is this good news for all of us today and here today? Because it helps us to understand that no matter what your past is, no matter what your personality is, no matter what your hang-up is, no matter what your color is, no matter what your gender is, no matter what your background is, I'm here to let you know that every single person under the sound of my voice, you are a candidate for the blessings of God and for the breakthrough that God wants to bring in your life. It helps us to see that the breakthrough of God was something that wasn't just for one group of people. It was something that was for all people. Thank God that God is so loving that his breakthrough power is available for all of us. I thank God, y'all, that God doesn't say, hey, if you did this, breakthrough is not available for you. I thank God that God says, hey, if you look this way and if this is your color, breakthrough is not available for you. But I'm here to let you know that God is so good that he says his grace and his mercy and his love and his favor is not just for one group of people. No, it's for people of every nation, every tribe, every tongue, and every language. God has sent Jesus to proclaim release to all people. But I want you to also see something here in this text. Because for us to experience breakthrough in our lives, y'all, can I help you understand something? You and I play a role in that. I know that might be hard to believe because maybe we believe that God is supposed to do everything. And I'm here to let you know, God is going to do the things that only he can do. But there are some things in our life that he expects and calls us to do. Many of us want breakthrough. How many of y'all want to see change and transformation happen in your life this year? You want your life to be different. And your life might even be bad, but there's some areas in your life where you say, I want to get better in this area. How many of y'all, just by show of hands, want to see your life get better? Well, here's some keys that I want to give you. You ready for it? Here's number one. Oftentimes, breakthrough in the scripture is preceded with humility. Can you tell the person beside you, hey, sit down? No, they're already sitting down, I guess. Tell them, be humble. The words of Kendrick Lamar. Humility. Why do I say this? Because when we look at verses 11 through 14, Elisha sends a message to Naaman telling him, hey, wash in the Jordan River and your skin will be cleansed. But watch what verse 11 says. Naaman got angry and left, saying, I was telling myself he will surely come out, stand, and call on the name of the Lord his God and wave his hand over the place and cure the skin disease. Aren't Abana and Pharpar, the rivers of Damascus, better than all the waters of Israel? Couldn't I wash in them and be cleaned? So he turned and he left in rage. Here in this early part of the scripture, Naaman did not have humility, he had pride. He was arrogant. Hold on, you little no-name prophet Elisha. You want me, Naaman, to go wash in the river? And not just to wash in any river, but the Jordan River was considered to be the most dirtiest of rivers in their day and time. So you want me to go wash in Buck Row Beach? In Virginia Beach? And then I'm gonna be cleaned? I'm gonna be healed? Naaman was offended by this. And he was offended by, I believe, for multiple reasons. One, because of this request or because of this command that Elisha had told him to do. But one of the reasons why I also think he was offended, and the Bible says that he left out in rage. He left, it was a temper tantrum on 1,000. It was, when I see a scene like this, it's like a toddler that doesn't get their way. Just, I hate you. And let's be honest. How many times do we throw temper tantrums when we don't get our way? Come on, let's be real. It didn't work out the way you want. Come on. He left out in a rage. You know, part of the reason why I think he's really upset is because maybe for the first time in his military career, where he's been used to always being in charge and giving instructions, maybe for the first time he's having to follow instructions from a prophet who doesn't command any army at all, from a prophet who claims to be able to heal by the power of God. For the first time, maybe, he's been used to being in authority, but now he's finding himself having to be under authority. And I want you to jump down to verse 13, because here's what the Bible says. But his servants approached and said to him, "My father, if the prophet had told you to do some great thing, would you not have done it? If the prophet had told you to do some grand thing, would you not have done it? If the prophet had told you to do something that was going to gain the attention and the notoriety of other people, would you have not done it?" But then he says this. So Naaman went down. Or how much more should you do it, rather, when he only tells you, wash and clean. In verse 14, notice what the Bible says. So Naaman went down. Everybody say down. Naaman went down. This is a language that really speaks to this, to the spirit now that he is ultimately adopting. He's gone from being in a prideful position to now being in a humble position. He has gone down. He is getting under in the water. He's been so used to being over people that now for the first time maybe he's having to be under people. He's been used to being in authority, but now he has to come under authority. He's been used to giving instruction, but now he has to receive instruction. Naaman had to humble himself. Let me say it like this. Naaman had to be humbled before he could be healed. And some of us have been waiting for God to do great things in our life, and God is saying, I'm waiting on you to humble yourself. To be humble. The principle here that I want us to see is that breakthroughs are oftentimes, all throughout the scripture, and this is not an exhaustive list of points that I'm giving you today, but these are common ingredients that you see throughout the scripture when breakthrough comes. Breakthroughs are often preceded by humility. And humility means that I get under the authority of God. I get under the word of God. I get under the instructions of God. It means that God is in charge now, not me. It means that God is the one calling the shots, not myself. It means that I'm depending on God's word. I'm depending on his word instead of my own ability. Here's what 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 6 says. God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your cares on him, because he cares about you. I like what Peter says here. He says, God resists the proud, but gives grace to the humble. Then Peter says, humble yourselves, therefore, under, if I say under, under the mighty hand of God. Get under God this year. Stop trying to be above him this year. Get under his word. Stop trying to direct his word. Get under his counsel, as opposed to you trying to be the counsel. It says, get under the mighty hand of God. And here's what I recognize, if we can pull that scripture back up. Here's what I understand, because I've seen it in my own life. We want the promotion from God without first being humble before God. So we want him to elevate us and to lift us up and to bring promotion and to bring blessing. But we don't want to humble ourselves first. And I'm here to let us know that if you want breakthrough, it starts with having a humble spirit. It starts with having an understanding that I got to get under him. It means that I got to acknowledge my limitations. It means that I got to acknowledge that I got some weaknesses. It means that I got to also acknowledge I don't know everything. It means that I can't have a stubborn spirit and expect to experience some breakthroughs in my life. Let me say it like this. I want you to write this down. Pride will cause you to miss what God desires that you possess. There are things that God has for your life and my life that we will miss out on because of our pride. I'm going to listen to you. I'm going to do my own thing. I'm a grown man. I'm a grown woman. Pride says, I'm going to do my own thing. I'm not going to listen to the counsel that you give me. Come on, y'all know people like that when you try to give them some words of advice and they stiff arm you like the Heisman Trophy. They just hit you with this. It's just like talking on deaf ears. We say it like this. It goes in one ear, but then out the other. Maybe you're not saying amen because that's you. I don't know. Maybe. But you know people like that. You know people like that. Where you try to give them some wisdom, but they reject it. Think they know everything. You try to give them some direction. Nah, I'm good. Or they hit you with a little respectful stubbornness. Oh, okay, yeah. I'm going to still do what I want to do anyway. Can I help you understand something, family? If you and I had that posture in our life, we will always miss out on the great things God wants to do. Because as long as we have a prideful spirit, what we're saying is, I don't need God's help. I don't need his grace. And the Bible says that God is opposed to the proud. God is allergic to pride. He opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. Because the proud person says, I don't need no help. I don't need God. I don't need you. I need me. Me, myself, and I. But the humble person says, I need God. I can't do this on my own. I can't parent these kids on my own. I can't be faithful in this area on my own. I can't be successful on my own. I need some grace in my life. I need the help of God in my life. I need godly people in my life. I need people around me who can give me some godly wisdom and some godly instruction. I need to be under something that's going to actually help me and be in position to receive what God has for me. It means that I got to humble myself. I think some of us have missed out on what God has for us because of our stubborn spirit. Because we just hard-headed. Let's just be honest. Like, we're just arrogant and prideful. And you might not ever use those words to describe it, but that's what it is. We're just arrogant and prideful. I remember back in college, there was a moment where God humbled me. I was a junior in college, and this was around the time when parents was like, all right, you need to start paying for stuff, bro. And you got to get a job. And so I remember I was looking for jobs. I couldn't find one. And then a friend of mine in my junior year came up to me. He was like, hey, man, look, I got this. My job that I'm working at right now, they're hiring. And I think like it'll work out for you. I know you got a need. You need some finances. And it pays really good. So I was like, oh, snap, bet. Let's go. Then he told me what the job was. He was like, hey, so here's the job. You're going to be working in the equipment room. I was like, what's the equipment room? He was like, the equipment room at ODU is language for the laundry room. Meaning you're going to have to wash all the dirty laundry of all the athletes at ODU, the basketball teams, the football team, the field hockey team, the soccer team, the polo team, the swimming team. I said, I will not. What'd I look like? That's exactly what I said. What'd I look like? I ain't doing that. Nah, man. Junior in college at this point. Don't have no money at all. No jobs at all, except this one. And I remember going back to my dorm, my apartment, and I remember kind of like God convicting me and said, hey, do you want to stay broke or do you want to break through? Because if you want to stay broke, well, stay in the same spirit that you got right now. If you want to break through, humble your little tail, go take this job, and get this money. So I had to humble myself. I'm putting gloves on every single week, washing all types of things, y'all, and I'm trying to spare details. And I'm not exaggerating. I remember the first 3 weeks of the job, I was like, I can't believe I'm here. This is the worst, man. But when that first check came, I was like, hey, I got a dirty job, but this money is clean though, you know, clean and green. But I almost missed that because of arrogance. Can I ask you a question? What things are maybe you missing out on because of some pride? Because we won't humble ourselves. Because we won't receive maybe what God is calling us to do in an unconventional way. Naaman had an arrogant and prideful spirit about him. He was somebody who was very accomplished. But in this moment, for the first time, he's having to walk in some humility. I want to say this. Don't miss your breakthrough because of a stubborn spirit. Can I also ask you this question? What simple instruction from God are you refusing to follow that could be the pathway to you experiencing breakthrough in your life? Maybe for some of us, it's you need to forgive that person. But Pastor, they offended me. They wronged me. But God's still saying, forgive them. Maybe for some of us, it's put down that cigarette, put down that weed, put down that blunt. Maybe for some of us, it's put down that bottle. Maybe for some of us, it's start working out 3 times a week. Come on. Maybe for some of us, it's change the diet. Maybe for some of us, it's spending time in God's word more than just one day a week on Sunday morning during an hour and a half church service. Maybe for some of us, it's I need to get up early and I need to go to bed early. I believe that there's some practical things and some spiritual things that God is calling us to do that will lead to great change in our lives. But it starts with having humility, which now leads to the second point. Not just humility, but now it requires some activity. Everybody say activity. If you're going to experience breakthrough in your life, it's going to require not just humility on your part, it's going to require activity on your part. So notice what the Bible says in verse 14. Naaman had a role to play in his breakthrough. He had to participate in this miracle. And the text says in verse 14 that he dipped himself in the Jordan 7 times. I'll get to that in a moment. He had to go in the water and wash himself. He had to submerge himself in the water. He had to do something that he initially preferred not to do. The Jordan River was dirty. And can I help you understand something? Sometimes God will call you and I to do some things that go against conventional understanding. It doesn't make sense. But the question is, are we willing to do the things that he may be calling us to do that don't make natural sense? We have to be willing to be active. Naaman was cool with the thought of Elisha just waving his hand over his body and being healed. But the minute the messenger comes back and says, hey, you got to go wash in the pool, he had a problem with that. You know the other reason I think Naaman had a problem with this word that he got? Because it's not only him getting instruction, but Elisha was so gangster, Elisha didn't even come face to face and tell Naaman this. He sent his messenger. I wonder if Naaman was like, who do you think I am? You sent some little errand boy to come tell me to wash in the dirtiest river? You are a peasant in my eyes. I wonder, like he, all the pride is there. But in this moment, it's like, if you want breakthrough, Naaman, you better get in this water. It requires activity on our parts. There are some things that God is calling us to do that contribute to us being able to experience the breakthrough that God wants us to experience. I want you to write this down. God's breakthrough for us often requires participation from us. God's breakthrough from us, through or for us, often requires participation from us. Church Father St. Augustine says it like this. Pray as if everything depends on God, but work as though everything depended on you. Pray as if it all depends on God, but then work as if it all depends on you. Here is ultimately what he's helping us to see. You need prayer and participation. That if I'm truly trusting and believing God, then it means that I'm believing God so much to the point where I'm going to step out on faith in it, which is why the Apostle James says in James chapter 1 that faith without works is dead. Meaning I got to have some activity that flows out of this faith, which means this, that relationship will not be repaired on its own. I got to invest in it. That means I got to say two words that many of us are allergic to. I'm sorry. Look, see, I already see it right there. I'm not apologizing. Can I help you understand something? I'm sorry can set a whole relationship free of bondage and brokenness that has been in existence for years. There are family members who have not talked to each other in decades simply because people won't say, I'm sorry. People will have dinners and get-togethers during the holidays and intentionally not come to the dinner and gatherings for the holidays because they don't want to be in the same environment as somebody who wronged them or somebody that they wronged, and because nobody will be humble and say, I'm sorry, it stays where it is. But if you want breakthrough, it's going to require some activity on our part. This is why prayer and fasting is so important. It is activity that we're doing. It's an intentional act of seeking and trusting God. Some of us this year, we're like, I need a financial breakthrough. God, would you bring financial breakthrough? And you're praying to God and you're seeking God about it, which is rightfully so. You should do that. You should pray for it. And many of us are, God, would you send increase into my life financially? Would you cause my cup to run over? Would you send a bonus my way? Would you send a bank error in my favor? Come on, God, do it. And I'm not saying not to ask. Pray, have faith, seek God, and have better financial stewardship practices. Because some of the blessings and breakthroughs that we are asking God to do, He has already given us those things in the first place. So some of us are saying, God, would you bring financial breakthrough? And He says, I did. The problem is you ate it all at fast food restaurants. It's at McDonald's right now. Come on. It's at Chick-fil-A right now. It's at Costco right now. It's in your stomach. You ate your breakthrough. God says, no. We need better financial stewardship practices. That's going to be one of the things that we do this year to help people get financially free. We're going to have some classes. We're going to have some gatherings and spaces to talk about things, how to budget money. Because some of us don't even know how to budget, right? When we talk about stewardship practices, we need to learn how to steward what God has given us. Some of us say, I want spiritual breakthrough to happen in my life, and it's good to have that desire, but God is saying, hey, I need you to be in my house more than one day a week on Sunday morning for an hour and a half. That means you got to get in the Connect group. That means coming to 21 days of prayer and fasting, midweek prayer, Saturday morning prayer. We got midweek prayer that's coming up Wednesday at 6:30. We got Saturday morning prayer next Saturday at 9 a.m. It means coming to the Women's Vision Board party. It means getting involved in ministry. God says, hey, I want to bring spiritual breakthrough into your life, but there is a role that you play in that as well. There's activity. I want to help breakthrough. God, I'm praying that you would heal my body. And God is saying, I can do it, but I also need you to go to the gym. Need you to go work out. Need you to go walk a mile around a track or something. Need you to get active. Because here's what I've recognized, and y'all might not like me for this, but I'm going to say it anyway. A lot of times, we're asking God for favor because of our negligence. God says, you know what the key to some of your breakthrough is? Being disciplined. I know that's a cuss word for some of us. But he says, some activity on our part. Here's what Pastor Warren Wisby, who went home to be with the Lord some years ago, says. He says, faith that doesn't lead to obedience isn't faith at all. Which means, if I'm truly trusting and believing God for something, then it should manifest in some type of activity in my life. So if I believe that God is able to bring healing to my life, then it's going to change the way that I act in my daily life. It's going to change some of my habits. It's going to change some of my perspectives. If I believe that God is able to restore relationships, it means that I believe that there's some things that I got to do that might be uncomfortable but are necessary. It might mean that I got to go to somebody and apologize for what I did to them. It might mean that I got to sit up here and say, I'm sorry for what I did. That means that I got to be willing to do some things that don't always feel good. It requires activity. Everybody say activity. Here's the last part. And this one right here, this is the one I think many of us, all of us probably struggle with in some way. Sometimes many of us struggle with humility. We struggle with being active and actually doing something. I believe that God has given many of you all dreams and visions. He's given all of us something in here. But the difference between it becoming a reality and it staying where you are is your activity and your participation in it. But here's the point where many of us get tripped up. Here's the third thing. That breakthroughs are oftentimes preceded not just by humility and not just by activity, but also by consistency. Because notice what the text says Naaman did. Elijah said, go wash in the Jordan. How many times? Seven. My kids are learning Spanish and know some Spanish. I forgot what that, what is this? Siete? Siente? Did I get it right? Seven times. Not five. Not one. This isn't uno. Y'all know you got all these different type of games now. This is, no, not just once. not just twice, not three, not four, not five, not six, seven times. In other words, Naaman is not enough for you just to go wash and pull the Jordan in the waters of the Jordan one time. You gotta do it seven, bro. And where many of us get tripped up is we're cool with doing it one time and two times. But to do it over and over and over, that's where we tap out. Do you know, I think one of the biggest things that the enemy uses to defeat us is he says, hey, because I know I can't steal your gift, I want to lead you to a place where you're exhausted to where you never walk in it. I'm going to tire you out. So I'm going to just throw attack after attack after attack after attack. And then little by little, hopefully your faith will start to take a hit. Where if you don't see something the first time or the second time or the third time, now you give up. Now you're throwing it out. This surely can't be God because nothing happened after the third time. What if God is not in the third time or the fourth time or the fifth time or the sixth time? What if he's only in the seventh time? And some of us have been waiting on God and we've been persistent, but we haven't seen any progress. And so now we've given up. But can I tell you something that one of my good friends who's a trainer, the local gym says, he said, Edwin, man, Pastor, what's so interesting is like I train people all the time. And a lot of people that come in here, they have different fitness goals and they want to lose all this weight and they want to get better shape. They may not have weight issues, but they just got fitness goals and physical goals. And he said, a lot of times people are expecting overnight transformation. And he says, I say to them, that body that you have right now, you didn't get that overnight. That weight that you have, that didn't come overnight. That's years of accumulation. That's years of bad eating. That's years of bad habits. He says, and just like it took time to accumulate that, it's also going to take some time to get free of that. And I think what the enemy has convinced us of is the freedom does not happen instantaneously, then freedom is not available for us. But I'm here to let you know that when it comes to us experiencing breakthrough, we have to do some things that God is calling us to do consistently. I got to consistently be in his word. I got to consistently trust God in faith. I got to consistently be in prayer. I got to consistently show up. I got to consistently make the right decision. I got to consistently walk in love. I got to consistently walk in grace. If I want to see breakthrough happen in my life, it's not going to happen by one time. It means that I got to be consistent in my life. If I want to see God's word at work in my life, I have to be willing to work God's word in my life. I got to be persistent. Somebody say, be persistent. I got to be persistent in doing what he called me to do. I got to be consistent in the things of God. Here's what Galatians 6 and 9 says. We got it for you, even in our mobile app with the notes. It says this, let us not get tired of doing good. And some of us are here today, and you've gotten tired. Pat, I'm tired of dealing with the same thing I've dealt with since 2022. I'm tired of dealing with the same thing I've dealt with since I was a child. I'm tired of it. I'm done with it. I just want to give up. But here's what the Bible says. Let us not get tired of doing good, for we will reap at the proper time if we don't give up. God is simply inviting you and I today to be consistent to what he has called us to do. You might not see progress when you want to see it. It may not happen in the time frame and at the time that you want it to happen. But if you continue to trust God, if you continue to walk in God's faithfulness and God's word, if you continue to believe God, I believe in faith, that you will begin to see a potential breakthrough happen in your life. Why? Because you did not give up, because you were persistent, because you kept going, because you didn't throw in the towel, because you didn't wave the white flag, you kept going. Here's what James chapter 1 says. It says, it's blessed is the one who endures trials, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. Blessed is the one who endures trials. Meaning this family, this is going to be something that you and I face. But the question is, do you have endurance? Do you have the stamina to keep going? I wonder what was going through Naaman's mind as he's in the Jordan River and as he's washing. He knows what Elisha said, wash seven times. But I wonder, as he's washing his body and he's in this pool and he's dipping himself into this pool, if after the first three times he's like, I know he's at seven, but I don't think this is going to work. I wonder what he was thinking. Because I think what he may have been thinking might be the same thing that some of us think. Man, I've been trying this for so long, it's not working. I've been trying to trust God, but it doesn't seem like it's working. I've been trying to believe God, but it doesn't seem like it's working. Can I help you understand something? As I said earlier, breakthrough is much closer than you realize. And I believe that the enemy wants to do everything he can to get you to stop at 6, because he knows if you get to 7, that's when you are in a position to experience the breakthrough and the healing and the change and the transformation that God wants you to experience. Can I give us a word of encouragement today? Don't stop at 6. Keep going till you get to 7. Don't stop when the enemy tries to discourage you to stop. No, I want you to keep going and trust and believe that if you continue to be faithful, you can experience some change and transformation. I want to close with this, because notice what the text says at the end of verse 16 and verse 15. The Bible says that Naaman, he went down and he dipped himself into the Jordan. In verse 14, it says this: then his skin was restored and became like the skin of a small boy, and he was clean. Family, what's powerful about this text here is that Naaman experiences physical breakthrough, healing of a skin disease that he had for so long. He experienced physical breakthrough and transformation. He was dealing with leprosy for who knows how long. But by the end of this moment, by the end of this moment, as he's washing in this pool, the Bible says that his skin was restored. And the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ for us today is in this, is that God has breakthrough available for each and every single person under the sound of my voice. I'm here to let you know that it does not matter what it looks like. It doesn't matter what your addiction is. It doesn't matter what your ailment is. It doesn't matter what your hang-up is. I'm here to let you know that breakthrough is just around the corner. You are not done yet. Your life is not over yet. God has more in store for you today. There's more that he wants to do. And Naaman's sickness, y'all, his greatest sickness wasn't physical. It was actually spiritual. Physically, he was healed. But at the core, he had this spiritual problem. It was a problem where he didn't know God, where he didn't believe in God. But by the end of this account, here's what the Bible says. And Naaman and his whole company, verse 15, went back to the man of God and stood before him and declared, I know there's no God in the whole world except in Israel. Therefore, please accept a gift from your servant. But Elisha said, as the Lord lives, in whose presence I stand, I will not accept it. Naaman urged him to accept it, but he refused. Naaman responded, if not, please let your servant be given as much soil as a pair of mules can carry, for your servant, watch this, will no longer offer a burnt offering or a sacrifice to any other God but the Lord. I want y'all to see what happens here. I want to invite us to stand to our feet as we close. That when Naaman is healed of his physical sickness, he also experienced healing of his spiritual sickness. He didn't just have a physical problem, he had a spiritual problem. He didn't know God. He didn't have a relationship with him. He believed in other gods. But when he experiences breakthrough that only God could do, he says, I'm devoting my life to him. I'm not offering up any worship and any other sacrifices to any other God except him. And what this helps us to see, y'all, is that the key to Naaman experiencing this breakthrough was that he gave his life over to God. He devoted his life to God. I want to say it like this, that a breakthrough from God should lead to devotion to God. That when God does this great thing in your life, whatever it is that you stand in need of, it should lead to you and I trusting him in a greater way. To say, God, I devote my life to you. Only you could do this. Only you could set me free from my sin. Only you can set me free from my stronghold. Only you can heal and deliver. I trust in you. I believe in you. I'm here to let you know today, family, that whatever it is that you stand in need of, that when you surrender your life to him, to God himself, transformation can come. And the reason why transformation can come is because of the shoulders on who it would ultimately come through, and his name is Jesus. Because in 2 Kings chapter 5, we see Naaman washed in the waters of the Jordan River. But when Jesus started his earthly ministry to come from heaven to earth to redeem you and I, the Bible says that he was baptized in the Jordan River by John Baptist. So I want you to see it. Naaman was essentially baptizing himself in the Jordan River to be healed of his skin disease. But Jesus was baptized in the Jordan River because he came to heal us of our sin disease. Jesus came to set you and I free. And when we say yes to him, when we're washed not in the water of a river, but in the blood of the Son of God named Jesus Christ, all of our sins, past, present, and future, are washed away. All of our sickness and diseases and sin are now healed. And it also means that because Jesus was powerful enough to set us free from our sin, it also lets us know that Jesus is powerful enough to set us free from whatever it is that's holding us back in our life, that no matter what it is that we're dealing with, he has come to set us free. He has come to bring release. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here today and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, today I want to give my life to Jesus. I want to say yes to him. I want to come to him today. Because without him, I can't experience breakthrough. I'm here to let you know, church family, online and in person, without Jesus, you can never experience breakthrough. You never be able to experience it. You need him. You try things on your own, it didn't work. You need to lean on his power. You need to lean on his grace. And so if you're here today, while heads are bowed and eyes are closed, if you're here and you're saying, Pastor Edwin, if you could be honest, Pastor, I'm here today. And I need Jesus. I need to devote my life to him. I need to give him my life. I want to give him my life today. I'm going to put my life in his hands. I want to receive him as my Lord. I'm going to receive him as my Savior, because I want breakthrough, and it only can come through Jesus. If you're here and you're saying today, I want to give my life to him, on the count of three, while nobody's looking, would you just shoot up your hand? One, two, three. If this is you, come on, if this is you today, you're saying, I want to give my life to Jesus. You might be a teenager. You might be a college student. Even I see your hands. Amen. Bless God. For every hand lifted, and even for those who didn't lift it, but you're still saying yes to him, would you say these words after me? It is a prayer of faith and commitment. Say these words. Say, Jesus, I give you my life. I believe that you died for my sins. I believe that you raised back to life to give me new life. Jesus, would you be my Lord? Jesus, would you be my Savior? Thank you for saving me. Thank you for healing me. Thank you for freeing me. In your name, Jesus, I pray. Every person say amen. Come on, can we celebrate those who said yes to Jesus today? Come on, can we give God praise for all that he's done? Come on, I saw some hands raised today.